And
I do have to say, your look is very 90s.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I was going for, well, again, this is another issue where our podcast is not visual, it's strictly audio, and no
oh,
one
I think
see.
That adds to it.
Adds to the mystery. That people have to wonder what I'm wearing.
Yes. What is Chad wearing this week?
No one will know. I should like take a picture of myself, but like super pic, like hyperpixelate it, and then put it on the thing. Put it on the Instagram.
You look like maybe you're my dad.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Like Kurt Cobain, or
I mean, yeah, like you're blonde and from the 90s.
I mean, I guess. I feel like I look more like a lesbian, if anything. Like a lesbian Link.
That too. I think it's the facial hair, though.
Yes, I'm lesbian Link with facial hair. I love that. I love that for her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're back again, guys, and we decided to... Well, I'm sure you guys remember from the last episode, we decided to watch Glee, something that I wanted to talk Grace into, just for fun, and it seemed to have worked.
I begrudgingly watched an entire season of it.
How about I watch that whole season and immediately... Now I'm on season two now. I'm at the Rocky Horror episode.
I fully... Like, I got 30 seconds into season two, and I was like... I can't do this. Shut it off. I won't say that I won't go back and watch the rest of it, but just I couldn't do it
in one sitting. I can understand that, because I mean,
well, it was not in one sitting. But
well, but. Yeah, I know for you it's probably not one sitting, but in my mind, you watch things, like, consecutively. I feel like you don't take as many breaks in between as I do.
Oh, got you. I see. Like, I don't go and watch other things in between.
Well, not as many things. I watch, like, five things in between.
Yeah. No, I usually, I have to, like, ride the attention train as far as it'll go.
And, you know what? That's fair.
I think I've said this on this podcast before, but my former experience with Glee, besides the fact that I did fully despise it when it was actually airing, was that recently I was at a friend's house and they were watching Glee, and I was high and I was like, oh, you know what? This show isn't that bad. Like, it's kind of funny. It's kind of quirky and funny. And then another time I was there and they were still watching it and I was sober and I was like, this is the worst experience of my life. And I have to go. So that was my only full experience watching Glee before this.
I mean, you're not a huge fan of Ryan Murphy. I mean, weirdly enough, I'm a quote-unquote fan, I feel like. I watch a lot of his stuff, so I have to call
you
myself...
You do watch most... you watch...
A lot of his stuff, so I have to call myself a fan. But, I
but
mean...
But then again, you are contractually obligated as a male gay.
Yeah, that is true. We don't have many people... I mean, I know a few other ones, but I mean, there's not a whole lot of them that produce in mass volume like Ryan Murphy does. He's very prolific, as my
How does he do it?
As my mentor.
How does he keep getting these shows?
I don't know. I think it's connections, but the thing is he produces a lot of content and people work with him already and already trust him to produce a product that people will watch. Like, it's guaranteed a certain amount of viewers already, so that's why I think they keep giving him stuff. And they'll probably keep pumping that horse until he dies.
I don't know, that was so funny, but yeah.
I mean, I genuinely believe that Ryan Murphy will probably be on his deathbed writing another script.
Oh, I believe it.
Or at least dictating it to someone.
Yeah, I think he's going to, like, pass out while writing, and then they're just going to be like, well.
How do we finish this? You know what? Actually, the way it ends, that works.
They're like, oh, he was only good at writing pilots anyway.
Well, that was what an old professor of ours used to say. He said that Ryan Murphy was very good at pilots, and then the concepts go off the rails from there. And I don't disagree, because I agree
wholeheartedly.
Yeah, there are a lot of his shows where I'm like, they start off great, and then there's some, because, I mean, I'm a fan of his other shows. So, like, say for instance, American Horror Story. I love season one, but there is a point where it starts to get a little bit bananas, and then there's another part, and it's literally like pretty much every one of those seasons. It's like we've already hit. Basically, he'll like hit the ceiling and then just burst through it and then immediately shoot past the ozone layer. And you're just like, where are you going?
That's when the coke hits.
Well, it's more like the fucking Magic School Bus theme song. It's like you take a left at the intestines, take a second right at Mars. It's like, where are we, man?
Where'd we go, Ryan? Where did we go?
Yeah. So what's funny is you didn't like originally I was an actual Gleek. When it originally came out, they just did the pilot and it was like after the Super Bowl or something, and that was like my senior year in high school. So it was like
after I was gonna say it was 2009, where were you?
Well, that was when they did the first like full season, but they did the premiere of like the pilot episode like way earlier than that. It was, like, after the Super Bowl, I want to say in, like, 2008, and then they decided to pick it up for, like, 13 episodes, and then that's where it ended up. Also, I'm pretty sure, like, the first 13 episodes are shot on film.
Really?
It looks like it. Like, when I look
at it. It does look like it, yeah.
I was visually looking at it, and I was just like, oh my god, I think the first 13 episodes are, like, on film. But
it does, because that, like, the pilot, especially when it started, I was like, whoa, like, this is really, like, a different quality, so.
Yeah, I mean.
Than what I expected, I guess.
They streamline it for network television later on, but, like they do with most shows. Because you remember, I feel like I always talk about this, like, you know, like, the first couple of seasons of Supernatural, like, very cinematic and shit, and you look at it now, it's not as much, it's more, like, just what a CW show looks like. And I'm
yeah.
I really, that was just one thing why do I always talk about this? I always say that's like one thing I liked about the Vampire Diaries is they had very good cinematography.
You and the Vampire Diaries.
Hey, they kept with it, and I applaud that, because they didn't have to end the eighth season. They were just like phoning it in. They could have phoned it in.
See, I feel like if we wanted to do something that I really hated, we should do that.
Oh, true. Oh, that would be fun. We should just go back and forth. That'll a summer of torment. We're already being tormented indoors anyway, and I feel like that's the only way.
Strong enough.
I feel like this is the only way we're gonna like forcibly make ourselves do this. Otherwise, we can object and be like, "Oh, I have to go outside.
I must be outdoors." So wait, was this Ryan Murphy's first big hit, or did he have shows before this, or was Glee it for him?
So Glee was like a new plateau for him, because before he had a hit show, the show he had before this was Nip Tuck, and that was a huge hit on FX.
Oh, I did not know he did that. Mm-hmm. That is interesting.
Yeah, and then before that, I think the really big one was that show Pop. It was a show called Popular that I never watched, which I kind of want to go back and watch at some point, just because I'm like, I'm wondering what his early years were like. I'm wondering if he's like, his earlier years are just like, oh, wow, this is so good. Chef kiss. No problems. But
I doubt it.
I know, I was about to say, I'm like, but that feels like a stretch. So, but yeah, right before Glee, the last big hit he had was Nip Tuck, because it was coming, it was on his last season when he started.
I do remember that show, yeah.
Yeah, so.
So you were a Gleek.
I was really into, I just remember really connecting with the pilot, but again, this was like around like my senior year of high school. I was like almost at the end of my senior year in high school, and I felt as though this resonated with me a specific way. I was like, wow, mm-hmm. I feel like I too was that outcast. But you know, I don't.
So that's really interesting, because what I remember about it culturally, like at the time, because like I said, I did despise it whilst it was airing, is like, I must have been, I had to have been in my sophomore year, I guess, then, if you were in your senior year.
Oh, I lied.
And I remember, like,
apparently it was in 2009, so I was out of high school. I don't know what the hell I was doing then. Maybe I was just feeling like a loser back then.
I mean, you know, those years all kind of blur together. But I remember, like, being in, like, choir class. Like, I was in the choir in my high school. And, like, there was definitely, like, a time where Glee had, like, just hit or was, like, really big. And the more popular kids in the choir were deciding to do the Don't Stop Believin'. And I was just like, this is so fucking annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I remember of it. And I also had friends who were in, like, theater and, like, stuff like that who were into it on that level. And I was just like, I don't vibe with any of this. It's just, I don't know.
Well, I've been very interested to know what your thoughts were just about. I mean, okay, so I always say that the very best part of Glee is the first 13 episodes, because it's kind of almost like a complete arc in and of itself. Because when it originally aired, it aired just those first 13 seasons, and it was kind of like unknown whether or not they were going to come back, because that ended in like December of 2019. And then it came.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And then they came back for the back nine.
2019.
Yeah.
2009.
Whatever. 2009. My bad. I'm 10 years out. Because it was just yesterday. But they came back. Yeah. They came back and did the back nine in like April of 2010. So it was very.
Okay.
Yeah. There was like a huge break between the two. So it was very uncertain.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense now.
Oh, the way it's kind of sets up in between those.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, because it does feel kind of not jarring per se, but it is a disconnect.
Yeah, and honestly, like while I was watching it, it wasn't that I was like, "Whoa," but all of a sudden, like, I didn't think it was that disconnected, but I did notice, like, all of a sudden we had Jonathan Groff and, like, what's her name? Idina Menzel, like, guest starring. And I was like, something happened here.
Yeah.
That so was I guess, what it was. Like, I don't quite remember. I guess the first 13 episodes, like, got really big.
Yeah. Was that a question? Okay. I don't know.
Yes, that was a question. Oh, okay. I don't remember.
Yeah, so the very first, I feel like Glee became like a really big hit with those first 13 episodes. I remember, that's the only part of the series I have on DVD. I just have the first 13 mm-hmm. episodes. And it was, I remember asking for it because I was just like, it was so good, those first 13 episodes. And I remember watching the last nine live, like, you know, on TV, and I just didn't resonate as much with me as the first 13 episodes, because I really felt their struggle of like the highs and lows. But then, like, it's funny because rewatching it, I almost feel not the exact opposite. It feels cohesive because I'm watching it all together. Rather than having that break, because I do feel like having that week-long break, sometimes it really can, like, not mess with the way that a show is delivered, like, digested, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, like, for
it
sure.
It definitely affects the way that you digest a show, so.
Yeah.
Also.
No, I agree.
Also, I'm older and in a different mind frame, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's been a solid 10 years since this came out, so I did, no, I thought honestly, like the like even with the weird disjointedness of the first 13 episodes, I thought that the first season was like a pretty good like arc as far as like storyline went. It was like, okay, we got to get to regionals and do something, and then by the end, it was like, okay, we got to regionals and stuff happened, and Quinn had her baby. Quinn had the baby. I thought that was a good ending with the whole like Bohemian Rhapsody. And I was like, it was so funny the whole time. I was like, they have to do Bohemian Rhapsody, right? Like, they have to freaking do that stupid song that has now been overplayed a zillion times. Is this show the reason that everybody was so obsessed with that song for so long? Because
I
that
want
makes
to
me
say yeah.
irate.
It definitely spawned a resurgence of it because one of the huge, like, big things about Glee was the actual soundtrack. Because if you th this show actually was quite the cultural reset, if you think about it, because people were
Yeah.
literally buying the shit on iTunes. They were buying the whole albums. They were going to their live concert shits. I'm
Oh my
like,
God, I didn't even know about that. That's so funny.
They had, I swear they had like a live digital movie thing. Like, you remember when they were doing that for a while? Because they did it with like the Jonas Brothers and like someone else. I swear Glee had one too.
No, I believe it. I yeah, I don't really even remember from when it was out, because like I said, like I wasn't into it, but I do definitely remember it being such a huge phenomenon. And I have to say, they're fucking talented. Like, of course, like it, of course it worked the way that it did. Like, they're very talented people. Like, they sing the shit out of those songs. And might I add, what an interesting combination of songs we got.
Yeah, it gets even odder in season two because I was like, oh yeah, I remember this is when they were trying to diversify the songs that they were picking. So, like, some, oh my God, like, what song was it that Puck did? It was something so stupid. He did Lady is a Tramp in the first season, I want to say, which
Yes.
was fine. I have no
He and
problem with that.
Mercedes sang that, yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, I mean, this sounds, it sounded odd to me. Just the thing is, with some of the song choices that they did, I feel like they were picking songs randomly, and I'm like, this doesn't feel like this was like more or less chosen for their voice or their vocal range or anything to make them sound really good. It seems like they just arbitrarily picked the song and they were like, you're gonna sing it, and you just sing it to the best of your ability, but you're gonna sing this song.
No, yes, I agree, but I think that everybody was talented enough to pull it off. I mean, it was like a, you know, it was a
Yeah.
good cast.
Well,
And yeah, coming off of like I said, Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, which I have bitched about to you for weeks now. Like, I was like, okay, this is an actual like good, this is how you do a musical TV show. Like, you get people who are fucking talented in these realms. You
Yeah.
get people who can sing and dance and act. Like, you have to. I'm sorry, you just have to.
It's a must. I mean, people always rag on that. Like, what was that? With La La Land, they were just like, why did they get Ryan Gosling? He's not a singer.
Right. Yeah, and I'm sorry, but like, yes, I agree. Like, you have to be able to sing.
And I
It just
mean,
doesn't.
Emma Stone's not bad, but she also is not too much of a singer.
I mean, why do you think every single Disney movie has people dub over the voices when they sing the fucking songs? Like, they have like all these famous actors and actresses do the voices of their characters, but then when it's singing, it's not them.
They call Mariah Carey.
And They call some unknown.
Oh, that's true. They
Drew
do.
Seeley.
They do. They pull them out of the woodwork. Also, Drew Seeley, literally the MVP. Let's talk.
Drew.
Let's talk facts.
Oh, that was another thing I was thinking about. I was like, this was definitely born from High School Musical.
Yeah. Wait, when was High School Musical?
That was 2006.
Yeah. I mean, it was...
I'm pretty sure because I looked it up.
Oh, it definitely... I feel like it was. Like, it was...
Yeah, it was 2006, yeah.
It was another one of Ryan Murphy's vagrant sex dreams. He keeps different journals. This one was... A lot of these were about high school.
Well, because you had, like, Finn's whole storyline was basically Troy's storyline in the first High School Musical. It was like, oh, sports or theater. Like, it was like, okay, we've seen this. Like, why are we doing this again?
I've seen this, and I already hated Troy to begin with. And, I mean, I don't hate Finn. It's just, I'm not... Okay, well, before we get into the characters of that, did you want to talk about Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, like, the end of that, before we delve too far into that? Just so we can get it out the way.
Sure. Yeah. We can discuss it.
Let me move my bang.
Okay, here's what I'll say. I really liked the last number. I thought that was really good.
How about, and I didn't know that was the title of that song. I thought it was called My Miss American Pie or Bye Bye Miss American Pie or some shit. But
it's called
The Day the Music Died?
American Pie.
Oh, I thought it was called The Day the Music Died or something.
No, it's called American Pie.
Well, see, I still don't know to this very day.
Wait, isn't it? I don't think it's... Wait, hold on. And we're fact checking. Yes, it is called American Pie. Okay.
I mean, I guess... Okay, so it's called American Pie. But... Yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed their rendition of it. I was honestly, like, it was a very sentimental moment with that.
So, I just liked the piece itself, like, the camera work and, you know, like, just the way, but I didn't like, anything else, I guess. I don't know. I feel like I just don't like this show, but I was like, okay, we just ended on that, and that kind of just seemed like it was it.
Yeah.
It was like, there was nothing else that was like, okay, what's going to happen next, or like, something else might happen. It was just like, no, the dad died, and that was it. I was like, oh, so that really is what it was all about, was the dad.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I feel like with this show, they really didn't have anywhere else to go other than the dad dies and that's it. The only other level of intrigue is, like, her romantic life, and I'm, like, not that interested in it.
First of all, snores. Second of all, like, yes, there were places to go, because there was, like, the whole, like, they spent the whole season being like, okay, well, like, what are the rules of, like, how I'm hearing these songs, and, like, why am I hearing these songs, and, like, blah, 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 and there was, like, the whole accident in the MRI machine or whatever. And then, like, she literally, like, was it the last episode or maybe the second to last episode? She has this, like, moment where she's back in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And she sees the MRI machine. And it's just a moment of, like, well, okay. And I was just like, that was so lame. Like, why? Like, why was there no... I don't know. They just...
Yeah.
I feel like they just smooched the pooch on that one. And also... Lauren Graham, I love you so much, but girl, no. Like, she really let me down with her musical numbers.
There were a lot of interesting song choices on that show as well. But, I mean...
Yeah.
It's no Glee.
Also, those two engineers were gay, and that's all I have to say.
Yeah. They absolutely were, and I know if they get renewed or something, they really just need to go to that storyline, because that's exactly what's going on.
It was so painful to watch the one guy hook up with Lauren Graham. I was like, this is bad.
I know. And then the other guy was, like, hurt because he's like, we're not hanging out. And I'm like, okay, you can play it off like a dude bro thing. And I'm like, sure, that can happen, but they have a lot of on-screen chemistry.
Yes, they did. They had a lot of chemistry. And then also I was like, I don't know that I know a single straight guy who's like, oh, my bro's hanging out with his new girlfriend. I'm like, I've never experienced that. But anyway. And takeaway.
In my professional opinion, I believe this.
In my professional game.
Hey, my 19,000 years at Oxford are not going to be used for nothing. So, let's circle back. Let's go back to characters in Glee. I feel like we're about to get into Finn.
Well, sure. He's, like, the main guy, so...
Yes, go ahead. Our leading man. I've always been very indifferent about Finn. I don't really care for him all that much. I think he's kind of dumb. And I think that's...
Yeah, that's the point of him, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's very much supposed to be the point of his character. But sometimes he's, like, overly dumb, or to the point where I'm just like, oh, okay.
Well, but so is that blonde girl who ends up dating Santana.
Oh, Brittany?
Yeah.
Yeah, but for her, at least she's funny.
Oh my god, that line where she's like, did you know that dolphins are just gay sharks? I was like, oh my god, I remember everybody saying this for like literal years.
That was their favorite one. She was literally the one line queen.
She had so many good lines. When the, what was his name? Jonathan Groff, the guy who was dating Lea Michele for a hot second, when he came on, and she was like, Mr. Shu, is he your son? I was like dying at that line.
He could have played his son.
Because I was literally just thinking, I was like, they look so similar. And then she said it. Finn is just like, you know, he's your leading guy. He has to choose between sports and singing, and...
He chose both.
Girl or the other girl, you know, the blonde or the brunette. It's your classic American male.
It's your classic Riverdale.
There was one scene where somebody calls him Frankenteen, and I literally could not stop thinking about it. I was like, he really is just so large. Like, every scene with him and Lea Michele where they're, like, sniping at each other in the hallway... They literally, to get his over-the-shoulder looking at her, the camera is pointed so far down. It's so funny. If you go back and watch those scenes, the angle that the camera has to be at to get over his shoulder is hysterical.
It is a little ridiculous, just because, I don't know, I was thinking that too, because I was just like, he's just so awkward, like, the way he moves his body sometimes in certain scenes.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he was, like, a first-time actor, but,
Oh, really? Didn't he die?
Yes, he did.
Oh my god.
So, funny. I can't be too harsh.
I remember when that happened, too.
Yeah. I can't be too harsh, but, yeah, he died while the show was still going on. It was, like, around season 4? It was somewhere in between season 3 and 4.
Oh my god, I didn't realize that. That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a whole episode where he dies. I think that's, like, the end of season 3. I think that's what that funeral episode is.
Yikes. I don't even know how to process that.
I know. Oh, wait, what? Yeah. Oh, I think I just found out the single parents get canceled.
What? Are you serious?
I think.
No! Don't do this to me on air, first of all.
Well, Actually, never mind. Hold on. That may have not have been a confirmation. Well, I follow one of the actors, and he just said it really weird. He was just, like, sad to say goodbye, and I'm just like, what does that mean? Is the show... Yeah, it says thank you to everyone who supported the show, and I'm just like, does that mean the show's over?
No. No. Just continues to say no.
It's either that or maybe his character is leaving the show.
Well, which one? Who is it?
Well, I follow Jake Choi. He plays Miggy.
Oh, he's the best.
But anyway, so if that's over, rip.
No, but there's so, it's so good. Oh, man. Yeah, it got canceled.
Everything people like dies.
I'm so upset right now. I can't believe we just said on air.
Found that, that
is so upsetting.
A somber note. Anyway, Glee. So.
Oh, I'm so sad. I'm really upset.
Do you want to point that to someone who's annoying? Let's talk about Rachel.
Yeah. Can I focus now? Yeah, Rachel's annoying. I mean, but again, like, that's, like, her character, right? Like, I feel like every character, like, the kind of the reason that it works is that, like, every character's flaw, like, the reason that they're, like, it's just their thing, you know? It's like, oh, Finn is dumb, Rachel's annoying, Kurt is gay. Like,
I mean, yeah, I guess you're kind of right. Like, everyone has their own, like, drawback to their character. I just feel like...
Everyone's a caricature. Like, everyone is a stereotype or, like, a, you know, blown out of proportion. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I always found her to be, like, a very polarizing character. Like, it's one of those annoying things where it's, like, you hate her, but you also love to hate her, or you... something along those lines. It's just, like, kind of... It's kind of annoying. Just sometimes I'm like, can I just, like, fucking like you? Why do you have to be so fucking annoying all the time? Like, she just... just does stuff that, like, really gets on your nerves, where it's, like, her ambition is so much where I'm just like, girl, what are you doing? Like, you know that this is going to make you unlikable, and yet you continue to do it. You're like, for someone who wants people to like her so bad, she also just tries so hard to make people hate her.
Yeah.
I'm like,
well, that would be the thing is, like, if she was just ambitious and didn't care, but, like, she also cares a lot.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of like, you know, but you know my theory that she's Ryan Murphy's self-insert
character. Like, you know, it would make a lot of sense, but, I mean, is Ryan Murphy Jewish?
No. Maybe? I don't actually know. And I don't really care, but just the line in the first episode where she's like, I'm not homophobic. I have two gay dads. And I was like, this is literally Ryan Murphy just being like, I'm not homophobic. I'm gay. I'm like, okay, two things can be true.
More than one thing can be factual at one time.
Like...
Which I found very true about a lot of things that would happen on that show. It's like, more than one thing can be true at once. I just know, like, when it comes to Rachel's character, I always wanted to like her because there are certain moments where she's very genuine and very sweet with other people and takes their, like, emotions into consideration. And then there's other moments where she's just like, in the first 13 episodes where she's just like, why do you have to, like, hurt me to make other people feel good? And I'm just like, bitch, why do you think this is so personal? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
That's what just really just set me off at one point, because I was just like, what are you talking about? Like, none of this is personal. And yet you're taking it as if it is, like, a personal attack. As if someone is physically like, Rachel, you suck. I'm giving something to someone else because I hate you. I'm like, no one is saying that.
Well, that was pretty much her entire beef with Mr. Shu. She was just like, the whole time, she was just like, you're trying to destroy my life. And he was like, I'm literally just a teacher.
Yeah, it's just like, why are you giving all of the solos to other people? It's just like, you sang like 15 songs in a row. Let someone else have a turn.
Honestly, oh, and I was thinking that too when, during the scenes where they would have, like, sectionals or regionals and, like, the audience was watching them, I was like, I would be sitting in the audience, like, haven't these two kids sung enough? Like, I want to hear the other kids. Like, it was just literally her and Finn, like, over and over again, like, singing the song.
Exactly! And I never, that was the number one thing I never understood about Glee. I was just like, this is a Glee club. Everyone, like, they would never do this. They would be like, you have one song, you have one song, we sing an ensemble or something like that. It wouldn't be like, you get all of the solos or something because you're a good singer. It's like, how is that going to help anyone else improve as a singer?
Yeah, and they had, like, episodes where they would, like, touch on it, and it would be like, oh, like, Mercedes would get mad about it or whatever, but then, like, nothing would change.
Exactly. They would be like, oh, we're gonna incorporate more people doing solos and blah, blah, blah. And they would do that whenever they would practice, and then they go to, like, regionals and shit like that. Yeah. It's just like, all Rachel.
Yeah, I'm like, who cares about fucking practice? Like, it was basically, like, the Rachel show.
Exactly.
Also Finn is here. It's just, like, so annoying. But honestly, I have to say about Rachel, I actually kind of felt the opposite, where I felt like when I liked her the most was when she was being the most crazy. Like, those moments where she was like, you're trying to destroy me. And I was like, yeah, girl.
I mean, I would be fine with that if she were just always like that. But then there would be other moments where, like, you know, her redeemable moments. But it's right. Not like Sue, where, like, she would be, like, terrible. Honestly, I really didn't care. Like, most of the time when she was doing stuff, I'm like, ah, oh, shenanigans.
I know. She's, like, legit a terrible person. I love it so much.
Like, a full... well, that's funny that you... because you haven't watched season two, there's a new character that comes in. No, well, you said you watched 20 minutes of the first episode of second season.
No, I watched 20 seconds.
Oh. Well, there's, like, another character who comes in. She's, like, the new football coach. It's, like, a female football coach. And the shenanigans there. But, I mean, it's not like Sue, where she would be doing all that stuff, but you're just like, that's just Sue. And when she would have her redeemable moments, she would have, like, huge redeemable moments where you're just like, oh, yeah. When it came to Rachel, I was just like, this is kind of, like, the least you can do because you're, like, always being like this.
Yeah.
Like,
that is true. Like, the balance of it, I guess.
It was weird. I'm just like, it makes you wonder. It's just like, wait, is it because you act so bonkers all the time that when you have a moment of basic human decency, I'm just like, ah, that's so nice of, so big of you. And I was like, no, that's just basic human decency, what someone would do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I mostly just didn't I didn't really love any of the characters except Sue.
I mean, fair. I've always loved Quinn. I don't know why. There's just something about her character that I like. But I think it's because I like Diana Agron.
Yeah. Quinn, I kind of felt indifferent about. I mean, I obviously liked her more, like, in the later part of the season, like, kind of after she, you know,
went through her whole not being.
Yeah, she goes through some shit, and I was like, yeah, you're cool now. So I guess she has a cool character arc. Like, especially in the first season, she has a very comprehensible and, like, goes on a good path. She had, like, her character arc. Her character probably grows the most in the first season.
Yeah, which is probably... out of anybody. I think that's probably why I like her so much, is because she grows as much as she does. Like, when it came to Rachel, I got, like, really...
zero lessons. That's the thing. She learns no lessons. She just gets to be the star at the end, because that's what she wanted. And I'm like, you didn't learn fucking jack diddly squat.
You didn't learn a goddamn thing.
I'm sure you were a fucking teacher. He is, by the way.
I mean, he's kind of... he's good enough in the sense that he gives lessons, but...
he cares about them as people, and that's great. But as a teacher, I'm like,
I mean, I feel like a lot of his shortcomings are blindsided by me, for me, because, you know, the hot for teacher complex.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he's cute.
Blindsided completely. The thing is like with Mr. The funny thing is like with Mr. Shu is as the show progresses, you just get tired of him being around. Like, I just remember I think that was like my thing around like season 3. I was just like, I am so tired of you being around, Mr. Shu.
I feel like it would be really easy for those characters to outgrow him like very quickly.
Yeah, well, they would really only need him for a certain amount of time.
Right. He kind of serves a purpose of like, oh, I got all these people together for this purpose. But it's like, okay, do we really need him past that? Because what other purpose does he serve within that group of people? Because he's not quite on the same level as them. He was just the one that kind of brought them together.
Yeah. Especially because it's like his story runs out after a while.
Well, yeah, and that's true, because I felt like the romance with him and what's-her-face, like the guidance counselor, like that really, I was like, this was good, and then it just like, it really just like hit a dead end.
Oh yeah, with him... yeah, him and Emma, that's kind of just the thing. I really don't remember how it ends, per se, but...
I mean, I feel like they have to end up together, right?
I want to... they do end up, like, giving it a legitimate shot, but I don't remember if they, like, end up together ultimately. I can't remember.
Interesting. I just... oh, God, I felt bad for her. Like, her character is just... I was like, I don't know. It's just so interesting that Ryan Murphy is a gay man to me. Because his female characters are just... I'm like, who are the women you've known in your life? Like, I just want to meet the women that Ryan Murphy has known. Because they're just always so bonkers. As far as, like, a representation of a woman. You know.
Fair.
And I felt like he, like, really thought he was going somewhere with Emma's character. And I'm not quite sure where it was.
I agree. I don't really... her character is interesting to me because I think she was just supposed to be kind of like a quirky love... just a quirky love interest who is inside this weird world. I feel like a lot of her the actress who plays her, she plays her very well, especially, like, her oddities of being as, I guess, I wouldn't say as innocent, quote-unquote, as she is, especially to be a guidance counselor. It's like a guidance counselor who doesn't know anything about anything, like, life, right, but weirdly gives, like, very, very good advice.
Yeah.
She's, like, well, literally that friend who's, like, never done anything but gives great advice about what you're about to do.
Literally me. I thought that it was funny that, like, she was right about everything. Like, every time she showed up and would, like, have something to say about the situation, I was like, she's literally just right all the time.
Oh, do you mean, like, about, like, well, I just remember certain instances, especially when it came to, like, April, like, Kristen Chenoweth's character.
Oh, right. I forgot about her. First of all, I love her. I was like, this is such a good guest star.
I know.
This is such a good character.
And they brought her back several times, and I forgot about that. And yeah. It was great, especially the last time she was there, because she sang literally, like, one of my favorite show tunes, which was Home from The Wiz. Love that song. Mm. It's amazing. Also, like, no one... She just has such an amazing voice, and I find it funny that they were just, like, traded her. They were like, we have Kristen Chenoweth for half the season, and then for the second half, we have Idina Menzel.
I know, basically. Did they ever get them in a scene together?
No. They were in, like, the same episode once, but it was, like, Ships in the Night, where it was, like, they were on the same episode and then, like, passed the baton, almost.
Yeah.
And then there's... I think after that, I want to say in season two, like, Gwyneth Paltrow is around for a while. I totally forgot about Gwyneth Paltrow. Well, Gwyneth Paltrow was married to Ryan Murphy's writing partner.
Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yes. She's married to Ian, whatever his name is, Brennan.
I thought she was married to the guy from...
Coldplay. No, they got divorced, like, years ago.
Okay, well, I...
All right, sure. I know. Well, I honestly was trying to figure that out because I was like, I completely forgot that they were married until I saw, like, a random picture of the two of them the other day. And then I was just like, oh, yeah. And I was just like, oh, yeah, that's how Gwyneth Paltrow was on that Ryan Murphy show on Netflix, The Politician. Because I was like, why Gwyneth Paltrow? That seems like such a random reach. But Gwyneth Paltrow does a lot of random stuff if you look at her catalog.
That is true. Films. That is true. Oh, Gwyneth.
Also,
oh,
she was in his other movie. Oh my god, I forgot he directed Running with Scissors, and Gwyneth Paltrow was in that movie.
You know what? I love Running with Scissors.
I do too. The book is great too.
Yeah, the book is great. I forgot that was him too. Okay, I do have to give it up to him. I do shit on Ryan Murphy a lot, but Running with Scissors is good. You know what? He should just do movies.
Well...
instead of television.
I feel like the last few movies I've seen of his have been just, like, sad and gay, and I'm like...
I haven't seen past that.
He did The Normal Heart, which was just really depressing, honestly. And, I mean, it's about the AIDS crisis, so, I mean, it's not supposed to be, like, a feel-good film, but,
that one, okay. Yeah.
Wouldn't that have been an interesting take if he had just done, like, a campy film? That had AIDS in the backdrop. Set to the backdrop of the AIDS crisis of the 80s.
Yeah, that's called 90s. Angels in America, and it exists.
Is that really a movie?
Angels in America?
What? I've never heard of that, for whatever
reason. You've never heard of Angels in America?
Have I not? Hold on.
Revoke your gay card.
With Al Pacino?
It's a play.
Oh.
It's a play, and they did a movie of it.
Oh, yes, it's Al Pacino, Meryl Streep, and Emma Thompson.
Yeah.
What is this?
What's her name, isn't it?
What is it even about, really?
It's about AIDS, dude.
Well, yeah, but what, like, the other part of the movie?
Angels.
Oh, okay. Angels and AIDS. All right. They should have just called
it
that.
For real, like, angels come down. Emma Thompson's an angel, and she comes down, and she's like, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, you should watch it. It's good.
There's a lot of random people in it. Mary Louise Parker?
Yeah.
Justin Kirk,
yeah, and they have a scene
together. Patrick Wilson, Jeffrey Wright. Jesus, there's so many random people in this. This is like when I watched The Female Brain with Whitney Cummings the other day. Mm-hmm. Apparently she directed that film.
I haven't seen it.
There are a lot of people in that movie as well. She, like, co-wrote it with, like, Neil Brennan. It's a pretty interesting film. You should watch it. It's on Hulu. It's called The Female Brain. It's slightly... it's like a slightly educational rom-com.
Interesting.
I mean, it's kind of like He's Not That Into You, where they like tell you like random little tidbits in between stuff.
Gotcha.
It like tells you like certain things about the human brain.
Oh, okay.
But one of
maybe I would like it.
One of the biggest things I figured out is like how they say like women's heads are smaller or whatever. It's like apparently the size of the human brain is the exact same. It's just the female brain has less space for the brain to be in there.
Are women's heads smaller?
Apparently. Like, I guess per circumference. I don't know anything about math. It's not like I'm gonna fucking do the volume. Or whatever it's called.
Dunk your head in a bucket of water. We'll see whose bucket spills over.
That's stupid.
That's how you tell volume, dude.
Oh, is it? I don't know. I didn't pay attention to math. I told you, after Algebra 1...
one way.
Me and Algebra 1, we were barely friends, and after that, it was just a done DC for me and math.
Isn't that... What type of math is that, though?
Geometry?
I'm like, physics?
I don't know. I'm not a math...
Volume?
Girl, I went to school for writing. I don't know nothing about that. That's what Google is for.
You went to, like, normal school also?
Yeah, and I was doing art back then. I literally did not pay attention. If it was not about drawing something, I didn't care.
That's true. My high school was a little extra. Anyway. Oh, that was another thing that I was like... Because I didn't go to public high school. Do cheerleaders really wear their uniforms? Or is that just like a TV thing?
I feel like it's a TV thing. Because I'm like, okay. When I was in high school, they didn't wear it all day. That's why I really didn't know who was a cheerleader. They would only wear it when they were, like, when they would have games. And they would wear it.
Yeah.
And I don't remember them wearing it during the day. Even on those days where they would have games. I think they just would wear it after school when the games were. Which would make more sense.
Yeah, like during practice, I guess.
Yeah, which would make sense. I'm like, why would you want to wear that outfit literally all day long?
You know, I don't know. I get, yeah.
How else will people know that I am a cheerleader?
People know that I'm a bitch.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, it seemed like they didn't own any other clothes. They only wore the fucking uniform. And I'm just like, how many of those uniforms do you have? Most people usually only have like one and maybe a spare.
That is a really good question, because they did wear them all the fucking time. I'm like, are you washing that every night, or do you have, like, 10 of them?
Yes. Also, there were multiple things that didn't make sense about this. So, I actually went to high school in Ohio. So, in season 2, when they talk about, like, Westerville, I went to high school in Westerville. Which is funny because there is an actual private school. There are a couple private schools there. So, like, when they came up with Dalton Academy, I assumed that they were trying to do a playoff of DeSales, which is a private school there. Or at least in the area. Because they're actually... I really don't remember of a private school in Westerville. I think there is one because I do remember making out with some dude in high school who went to an all-boys school. I don't... That's all I...
Was it Darren Criss?
No. I would remember that, but...
And did he sing Katy Perry?
No, I would remember that as well. But what I didn't understand is I'm like, I had never been to Lima. And, like, Lima is, like...
Is that a real place?
Yeah, it's an actual place. Lima, Ohio is a real place. It's, like, it was further away from Westerville than I think they were making it sound. Because I'm like, I had never been there, or... But then again, nothing was there that I know of. So...
Well, here's a question. Because I was like, they were making it seem like this was a really small town that, like, you know, no one ever went anywhere, and you just kind of, you know, did what you do, and, you know, nobody went to college, or, like, whatever, like, Finn was talking about. But, like, I was like, that is a huge fucking school that they go to. There's, like, a million kids at that school. And yes. also, for them to even have a glee club, so, like, that's a big school.
Exactly. There were a lot of inconsistencies with that, because I'm like, the school seemed big, the town was supposedly small, but it was big enough to have multiple other, like, high schools in the area, like, yeah. five. In Westerville, there were three high schools, North, South, and Central. And Central was built, like, last. So it was the most, like, the newest, so they had, like, the most remodeled shit in theirs. Mm-hmm. I know my high school, because I went to North. It was like one level. We only had one level. South had two floors, and so did Central. So we were the only one that didn't have two floors. But, you know, looking back on it, thank God, because I do hate stairs.
Would you say that, overall this was an accurate representation of going to high school in Ohio?
I mean, yes and no. The number one thing I've always said, and this is funny because last night we watched The Duff.
The Duff.
Yeah. What's the lowest? Zero bars? Because they really thought they were saying something with that. They're like, we're saying something. That movie has too high of a rating on IMDb. It is like a 7 something, I think, and it needs to be like a 4.
It's the magic of May Whitman.
It's too high. I mean, I love Mae Whitman, but that was just too high. Anyway,
I don't disagree.
I just feel like when it comes to depictions of high schools, they over-exaggerate everything, where they make it seem...
Yeah, because it's a California set, you know, it's not really, like...
Yeah, because the thing is, weirdly enough, I also watched Shazam yesterday, and they're, like, the kid in that is, like, 15, so he's in, like, high school, but... What's interesting about that, I was just like, this is the most accurate depiction of a high school I've ever seen, where, like, everyone just goes about their business. No one gives a fuck about what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, it makes more sense that someone would be like, I'm a nobody, no one notices me, because I'm like, yes, no one notices anybody. Everyone just goes about their own fucking business. Everyone has too much shit going on to pay attention to your bullshit. Or at least that was always my thing. I'm like... I've got my own crap going on, and I have to figure out how I'm going to go hang out and do illicit things later, not what you're doing.
I have my own illegal drugs to do, okay? Maybe stay out of my business.
I don't have time to worry about you.
I mean, I totally agree. I know that I was, like... a nobody loser in high school, but I also, like, didn't give a shit about, like, any of that. Like, I feel like the depiction of, like, high school and even middle school, where it's, like, cliques and popularity and, like, who's dating who and blah blah, I'm like, if that was your experience, like, I'm sorry. Like, I was just trying to have fun with my friends and, like, get away with doing as little homework as fucking possible. Like, I don't know what y'all were up to.
Yeah, maybe it's because we had friends. Maybe if we didn't have friends, it would have been a different scenario or something.
But, like, who didn't have friends?
That's true.
I feel like even, you know, even people who were, like, weird, like myself, like, you know...
You find somebody, like, in the library, yeah, exactly. Under the bleachers, in the toilet, I don't know.
Yes, because this is a Scooby-Doo episode.
Wherever the kids meet each other these days.
In the toilet.
They're doing the moaning, they're doing the moaning Myrtle.
We call that one pulling a moaning Myrtle. That's how I met all my friends. Who didn't we talk about?
I don't know. I feel like we touched on a lot of...
Well, Santana, which...
Oh, true.
You were like, oh yeah, I love Santana. And, like, I have to be honest, because I had to love her on principle, because I was like, I know that later she gets a great gay storyline and all that, but, like, I just found her character so overdone in the first season. And I'm sure she, like, gets more of a personality later. But, like, really just in the first season, like, she was just making quips, like, at people. And I was just like, you're just being rude.
Okay, so, fun fact. All right, well, Santana is the bitch. And I love that about her because... We love a bitchy cheerleader, but they, like, flush her out a little bit more later because her quips become a lot more very pointed and they're very funny. But there's, like, a whole scene in one episode where I'm sure you've seen that clip where she, like, drags the shit out of Kurt.
Oh, yes, I've seen it on the tumbles.
Ugh, it's so funny.
It's very funny. It's so good.
Originally, what I found out last night, because I'm watching it with a friend of ours. Well, I'm not watching it with it. With them. I'm forcing them to watch it as I was watching.
Sure, sure.
It's kind of one of those things like, I'm watching TV, so if you want to sit in here.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to hang out, we're going to be watching this.
So, but he was looking up, I guess, like, facts about Glee, because he was asking me questions about, like, when, like, Cory Monteith, like, passed and stuff like that, and I was just like, I really don't remember. I just remember it was while the show was happening. But apparently they had cast the role of Quinn like a day before they shot the pilot.
Quinn?
Yes, they literally cast her like the day before they shot the pilot, and Quinn initially was supposed to be way more of a bitchy cheerleader character, but because of Dinah Agron's literally just her personality and stuff, they rewrote the character.
Interesting. Yeah. So then Santana kind of became that.
That's what I think. I feel like Santana filled in that.
Right. They kind of, yeah, okay, that makes sense. That does make sense then, because in the beginning, Quinn is way more, like,
bitchy. Blah, blah,
blah, and then you're just kind of not buying it, but then after she gets pregnant, like, it's so much more clear who she is as a person.
Yeah, I think it worked out very well. That's one of the things that worked out beautifully for them, just because, like, her story, I feel like, well, like we said, she has the most growth. Because her storyline is, chef kiss almost.
Yeah.
Especially, like, when her and Mercedes become friends. I was just like, see, this is a very touching moment.
Yeah, that was good. the scene where Mercedes was dieting and she imagined that everybody was food was so fucking funny.
It reminded me of Degrassi. You remember when Emma and Manny were, like, trying to diet? And they weren't eating, and then, like, Manny was, like, staring at pizza, and she's like, stop calling my name.
Ugh, we love a classic girl goes on a diet plotline.
But Degrassi took it one step. Well, they both collapsed in that. So, but I feel like Degrassi took it a step further with bulimia.
You know, it's Degrassi, they go there. I think the thing I probably didn't like about Santana, too, was, like, they just were kind of using her as a prop for, like, drama in between, like, you know, with, like, Puck and with, like, Finn and, you know, like, just her hooking up with people.
Mm.
And I was just kind of like, okay, let's move along here. Like, you know, I found her bitchiness fun, but it just, like, really wasn't serving any purpose. Like, there was a scene where, like, the episode where she and Brittany are both dating Finn for some reason. And they're, like, at the diner or whatever. And she's just, like, being super rude to the waitress for no reason. And I was just like, this is such a weird, like, character choice. I don't know. Well, I think I would have to watch more to, like her.
I also think that was supposed to be, like, a teenager thing. Because, like, teenagers... There's, like, that stereotype where teenagers are, like, rude to waitstaff or whatever.
That's true.
Which, more often than not, I feel like is a little true. I've never been that way. I've more or less just been, like, I want to leave. I want them there when I want them there, and I also don't want them to pop by as soon as they give us the food and be like, how is everything? I'm like, it is... literally going into my mouth. I cannot tell you.
Look, I don't love a chatty waiter, but I'm gonna be fucking polite. Like,
I mean, they're still gonna get their tip regardless. Regardless of our interactions, they're gonna get the same tip.
I feel like
every waiter, I just need to hand them a card that's like, you will get 20% no matter what. So just chill out. It's all good.
Go outside, smoke a doobie, do something. Chill.
Unless you are hot. In which case, great.
If you're hot, 12%.
Well, that was...
That's called equalizer.
That was the thing about Santana. I was just like, every scene that she was in, I was just so distracted by Naya Rivera. Like, I just couldn't not look at her in every scene. I was like, she's so beautiful.
Oh, yeah, it's funny. In the second season, they have, like, this storyline where she got a boob job.
Oh, my God. Too much.
I think it's in the first episode.
Yeah, she and Brittany are very funny, and the fact that they legitimately get together later, like, just really tickles me.
I know, they really allude to that, like, very early on, where they were talking about,
Yeah, they allude to it a lot, and they're, like, if you, like, look at them in scenes, like, they're always next to each other, they're always, like, in the background talking to each other, or, like, looking at each other, like... It's very funny.
I love it. We love it. We love a long played out. Wait, not long played out. What's the word?
Drawn out.
Thought out. Whatever. Lesbians. We appreciate them.
We love lesbians. That's it.
Okay. So anyway, is there anything else? I feel like the only other thing to talk about this, like. We've done a very good job, I feel like, of staying away from the plot, but, I mean, throughout most of the season, there isn't much plot other than they're trying to get to sectionals.
Yeah, what's the plot? They're singing, they're dancing, blah, someone's pregnant, Idina Menzel's my mom. Like, I was like, I called that one. Like, literally with the scene where she was, like, talking, and she was like, oh, I just want to know my mom. And I was like, oh, LOL, they should make Idina Menzel her mom. She looks just like her. And then that was it. And I was like, okay, great.
Okay, great. Kismet. Yeah,
that was wild, that whole plot line.
Yeah, and then they buttoned it up by being like, and then she gets Quinn's baby.
Oh, yeah, she gets Quinn's baby. So funny.
Oh, also in the second season, the director of Vocal Adrenaline is Cheyenne Jackson.
Ah, interesting. That's Cheyenne Jackson. He'd be popping up and shit.
I know. That's the funny thing is like, looking through this, I'm, like, wondering why certain characters haven't popped up in other Ryan Murphy things yet. Because, you know, he likes to work with the same people. Matthew Morrison just got over onto American Horror Story, and I'm like... I mean, I didn't care for his character in that season, but I'm like, I'm still, like, attracted to Matthew Morrison. I don't want to hear him sing, per se, just because I find it, I don't know. There's something about, like, and this is going to sound stupid. There's something about a man singing to you, or that feels dorky. Is that me? It doesn't feel like a serenade as, like, most people intend it to. It just seems dorky to me.
I agree. I mean, you know, that's never, like, happened to me in real life, but, like, I would probably agree.
I mean, it hasn't happened to me either. It was just the thought I was having.
Right.
In the old noodle. It would be funny if, if fucking Jane Lynch popped up on American Horror.
Oh my god, please. She's just so funny. And what else was I watching recently? Oh, Sleepover. And she's in it. And I forgot she was the mom. And she's just so funny. Like, she's just genuinely so funny and everything.
You know what they need to do? They just need to do a season of American Horror Story, which I'm surprised they haven't done one that's in, like, at a prep school or something. Because there are so many stories about haunted prep schools. But I feel like she like, if they did one, she should be the headmaster. Because, I mean, they won't have, what's her name? The other one. What's her name?
The other one. Are you talking about Jamie Lee Curtis?
No. Well, that would be funny, too. Jamie Lee Curtis plays our, the top, teacher at the academy. I would love that.
I could see them, like, battling it out for headmaster.
Oh, well, he's still trying to... I think they're trying to bring back Scream Queen, so she would be back on there. And I would be interested in it. I always loved her character on there. She was hilarious.
Lea Michele's on that, right?
Yeah, she was on Scream Queen. She hasn't gotten over to American Horror Story yet either, interestingly enough. Or onto his other show, The Politician. That would have been interesting.
I do think... I mean, while I was watching this, I was like, you know what? This is actually, like, good. Like, this is, like... It is quality television.
Yeah, it's very enjoyable.
Yes, and it's watchable, and, like, a lot of it was so funny and, like, just really hit that line of being campy where it was good. And I was like, yeah, like, this is camp. Like, this is good. But, like, then there was so much of it that was so annoying.
I mean, the cringe moments are cringy.
And, like, the fucking... I've seen so many parodies of it where they do that whole, like, the characters are singing to each other, and then they, like, swoop the camera around at this, like, big dramatic angle. And I didn't realize how much they do that on the actual show. I was like, oh, that just has to be, like, a parody thing. No, 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 no. They do it once an episode.
They do it pretty much... It's almost as if they originated the parody.
It kind of... But that's the thing, is, like, it is kind of a parody of itself, but it's also taking itself very seriously. And I just think it gave a voice to a lot of these, like, theater kids, and I just hate that.
Yes, it's a voice that we may have to take back. We may have to start bullying again. It's just funny because it's the, I mean, it's kind of the opposite of High School Musical, where, like, High School Musical is about, like, the popular or the kids you're not expecting to be into theater, honestly, taking it away from Sharpay, who is so into theater. It's, like, yeah, the exact opposite of that, almost, where it's about, like, losers and their rise to, like, coming into their own. I don't know.
Right.
That's how I always have seen Glee. It's kind of like if you took the Sharpay angle and just, like, really went with it.
Right.
Like, that side of the show. Because, I mean, Sharpay is essentially Rachel. Well,
yeah.
Less... I feel less likable. Because I do like Sharpay. But it's because she's a... I feel like it's because she's a bitch, but it feels warranted. But she's that. And she's always like that, so it's just kind of like, you don't have to waffle back and forth between, like, how you feel.
Honestly, that would be a great character comparison essay on, like, those two characters and, like, their motives and their likability.
I would have to watch that Sharpay movie, then.
You haven't?
I've never seen it, now.
Nor have I, but you know what, I would. What was I gonna say? I don't know. Oh, that's what I was gonna say. Because you know what's interesting is Sharpay is the villain and Rachel is the protagonist, but guess who's likable and guess who's not? Think about that for a second.
And that's that on that.
That's that on that.
Well, I mean, I really don't have much more to say about Glee. Overall, I just want to know if you enjoyed it overall watching it. I've kind of gotten back into it, and I probably will continue and finish the series, because I never have. I haven't seen season 5 or 6 at all. And apparently 6, looking at the IMDb thing, because it's only 13 episodes, it looks like there's a huge shift.
I won't say that I won't go back to it. Overall, I think, yes, I did enjoy it. Like, it was enjoyable to watch, and I think what was enjoyable was how funny it was. Like, it genuinely made me laugh. And not just laughing, like, oh, ha, this is bad. But, like, genuinely it was funny.
Yeah. And that's what I feel about, like, season 4. I feel like I stopped laughing, and then that may be why I stopped watching.
They got too drama-y.
Yeah.
Well, and also the performances... I mean, well, a couple of them I skipped over, but like most of them are pretty enjoyable. All of the love songs, like I just can't do it. I'm like skip, skip, skip.
Oh, you should, if you go back and watch it, season 2, episode 3, you can pretty much skip all the songs because they're, like, spiritual songs. I'm just like, oh, look, boy. I watched quite a bit of them until I got to a certain point and I was just like, okay, we can stop with the Jesus. Because I'm like, because what Kurt said, he was just like, if I want to sing about Jesus, I'll go to church. And I'm like, exactly. If I want to hear that shit, I'll turn on gospel radio. I'm black. I can listen to it all day long if I want. But I don't want to. I left that shit behind over 15 years ago. Like, 3/4 of my life, I have tried to get rid of that.
Oh, we didn't really talk about Kurt.
Oh, yeah. How did we skip over the actual gay character? Only confirmed gay character in the first season.
I mean, I have to say that I liked him.
I like him up to a certain point, and it's, I think it's around, like, when I fell off the show. It was just getting, the whole Clayne thing with, like, Kurt and Blaine was getting very annoying to me. Because they keep them together because they're in-game, quote-unquote. But it's just annoying when, like, characters like that get together early on and the show, stays going. Because then they have to, like, give them trials and tribulations for this relationship. And then at some point, you're like, y'all need to break up. Because I did that with How to Get Away with Murder. Like, there was, like, with that gay couple, I hated one of the characters, Connor, for a very, very long time. Still do, actually. But
still hate that bitch.
What it was really, like, him and his becoming husband at some point. Mm-hmm. Like, they got to a point where I'm just like, you two don't seem like you're good together, per se. And I'm not understanding why you're together. I feel it's really more of, like, an obligation of the show. Because if the show wasn't structured the way it was, those characters wouldn't be together. Like, in a real-world situation, that wouldn't happen. Like, one of them had, like contracted HIV, and I was just like, and you're supposed to tell me that the other one really wouldn't be so scared off that he would be like, oh, or something would happen revolving around that. But whatever.
Here's my thing. I'm like, I don't understand why shows have characters get together and then continue to have drama between those characters. I'm like, no, like, if I want two characters to be together, like, I want to see them, like, hang out and have fun together then. Like, why would you then, like, have more drama? Like, why do you think that's more interesting than, like, okay, we've gone through all this and now these characters are together, so, like, let them have a good time.
Yeah, let them be together and be fine, and then play with the other toys in your toy box.
Right, I'm like, you have so much else to write about. Like, why you have to start shit between these two? We already watched all that shit.
Well, and the thing is there are always so many other characters in the show. I'm like, you could literally do stuff with so many other characters. We don't have to deal with them. They can just be like, they're being all lovey-dovey, and then, like, periodically they have, like, something come up. Like, someone farted. I don't know.
I love that Sex and the City episode. No, like, yeah. Not even, you know, not even have them be lovey-dovey. Like, just, like, literally just have them in scenes together, and they're sitting next to each other. Like, great, they're together now. Like, I don't want to watch more drama. That's worse, because then, like you said, you want them to break up. So, like, why did I watch all of that?
Exactly. Well, anyway, we'll see if I change my opinion on that after I finish the whole series. Maybe we'll do another episode where we revisit it, and it's just encompassing the whole series.
I really, really don't want to.
I mean, it'll probably come very far along the lines. Like, probably after we do our Supernatural episode, whenever that show finishes.
Oh my god.
Well, they got put
on. Did it get delayed because of COVID?
Yes. Because they only shot up to a certain point. It's not like, apparently, single parents who shot an entire season already. I was like, I didn't realize you guys had finished shooting.
I'm so sad. Like, I cannot. Actually, I don't can't believe that you told me that in the middle of this episode.
Well, it was very abrupt to me. I just opened my phone and I saw it on Twitter and I was like, whoops.
I literally saw that.
And I was just looking for random things that were happening about Gaga. Well, anyway, I must go listen to Rain on Me.
Great. So we're watching Greek next time. Because
I made you watch something you didn't enjoy. I am returning the favor, and now it'll be something I thoroughly probably won't. I don't know.
I think you might be surprised.
The thing is I originally tried to watch the show, but something about it I couldn't get into. I think it had, like, too much of the Van Wilder appeal to it, which is weird because I do like that movie, but...
I will say this. Don't take it too seriously. Just let it wash over you like a cold face towel. And, you know, like, put it on the background while you're painting your nails. You know what I mean? Like, don't try to get into it. Don't try to think too hard. Just watch it. Just let it happen.
Oh boy. Unfortunately, I'm taking a slight break from The Sims, or else I would do that. I would just play Sims and watch that.
Yeah, well, find something else.
Yeah.
yeah, you might be surprised. There's, it's interesting.
It's interesting. Well, as always, thanks, for listening, listeners, and... That's what you missed on Glee.
Thanks for coming, guys.
Oh, boy. All right. Bye.